This is BFBS Esports Live with OJ Borg.
I'm indeed him. Welcome along to another BFBS Esports Live. What is a Valentine's Day? You know how that works. A day of love, a day of smooching, a day of romance. But today it's going to be computer games. That's what we're talking about here. Tonight's show, I'm going to be speaking to Sergeant Simon Moore Foggy about Armed Forces World Esports Day, which we spoke a lot about last week, to get the lowdown on who's victorious for each of the games played, how the services got on, and how much was raised for each of their chosen charities. So we'll chat to him in just a second. Plus, I'm chatting to MZ, who competed in the first Esports Commonwealth Games last year. It was the big trial they did, which was amazing. I'll be chatting about the amazing work she is doing to help aid inclusivity in the esports community. First, though, as always, we like to play songs on this. It's a radio show as well. You can watch it on YouTube. So let's play you a bit of a band, which, for me, is one of the big bands to come from Leicester, where I grew up. This is Corner Shop and Brimful of Asher. Well, I can't deny The intention. That's a little beer to brimful of ash, a corner shop on BFBS, the Forces Station. I'm OJ Borge, bringing you Esports Live. Just a little word about my voice. I was at the Intel Extreme Masters 2023 in Katowice, which I always say is very much the beating heart of esports. It's one of the longest running esports events in the world, for Counter-Strike and StarCraft as well. It's got the oldest trophy in all of esports, this big silver thing. But the problem is, whenever I do the stage there, it's so loud and raucous, and I'm a whooping and a hollering, and they have all the pyros going off, then not only am I a little bit singed, my voice so sounds like it's had a good kicking, which it has. Let's talk to our first guest, who, may I say, Foggy, Sergeant Simon Moore, you're the earliest anyone's ever turned up for this show, so thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. It's obviously something that the army always is very profound for, isn't it, really, is being on time all the time.
You were on time, and it's great to have you on. First up, before we get stuck into a name of an event I've managed to get wrong about 15 times so far, Armed Forces World Esports Day. I keep getting it all the wrong way around. But why Foggy? Why are you called Foggy?
The honest answer behind it is because I don't have the foggiest.
What's the non-honest answer? What's the more rock and roll answer?
Well, my last name's Moore. It's always foggy on the Dartmoor, so...
There you go. Well, listen, either works brilliantly. So what is your game of choice then, and how are you involved in... I'm going to do it right. Armed Forces World Esports Day. I'm going to write it down. How were you involved in it?
So Armed Forces World Esports Day, for my side, was more the community side. So I'm the British Army Esports Community Manager, and I host and organise and assist run a lot of the community level stuff, including charity events and engagement events that we run across the United Kingdom and also across the pond as well. So, you know, we do a plethora of different things, and World Armed Forces Esports Day is one of them as well. You've got me doing it.
I know, I've got you doing it. So how did it go? It was 3 days of events. We know it was kicking off right at the end of the show we did last Tuesday. How did it go?
It went exceptionally well. We actually raised just over £850. We're not done yet. Our target is up to £1,000. We actually have a day four. We're doing an extra day on the back of it, which is going to be for Rocket League, which is their second part of it, which is going to be an RAF v RAF team deathmatch, basically, because they were kind of our final winners. So. You know, big props to them for and all the teams taking part across all three of our games, which is in Call of Duty, Formula One, and Rocket League. So exceptionally done so far.
And Formula One is your game. You, in fact, sat on your rig right now, aren't you?
Well, my rig's actually down here, tucked away. You know, but I have got the wheel.
There
so
you go.
I've got that at least. And but yes, that's my thing.
And for people who are listening right now, I mean, that looks like a proper Formula One, or at least racing steering wheel.
Well, it's not that far from it. You know, it's not too far. It's as real as it can get. There's obviously certain pieces on there that aren't on, that you can't like replicate, but it's almost as close as it can get. You know, it's got all the buttons on it. It does everything you need it to do, especially things on the fly, especially when you're trying to get the right apexes and trying to get into the maximum amount of speed into the corners and the best exit.
Because we were talking last week, I've always said that Formula One, or at least racing, is the closest you will ever get, an eSport will get, to what is a traditional sport. Because it's just, I mean, A, there's been simulators around for ages, we know. Lewis Hamilton used one for years. That's why he was so good when he came out into the actual F1 scene. But it's almost the closest you get. So eSports and Formula One, they have been so close for so long.
Sim racing, really. When you look at F1 is just one of them. You've also got a set of Corsair iRacing, which the British Army are very much involved with all of the major sim racing contents, especially with such a large community on that side as well. Or they have a very large community on that side, and they engage with a lot of different things. They've actually been involved with a lot of content creators, including. You know, some of these great content creators, such as TMART UK, you know, so there are some very, very large content creators out there that we've been heavily engaged with.
How did you get on in the race? Because it was a big old race in Canada, wasn't it? That was the track that you were racing on.
Yeah, so I came fifth. I actually qualified in ninth, finished in fifth. The REF actually took the two top spots, unfortunately, for us. But we were very, very close behind them. Very difficult track, mixed conditions, a lot of safety cars. Yeah, it was difficult. It was a very, very good, very good race, and it was all in VR as well for me. So,
well, this is it. When we were chatting beforehand, you mentioned the fact that you did it 2.5 hours of racing with a VR mask on, because I have worn the goggles before. I've done a bit of VR. I mean, back in the original days of virtual reality, I remember testing it, and I've never felt so sick as when I tried it with Formula One. It was flying around. It was just the movement of it. How do you do 2.5 hours of wearing VR in a race?
Grit and determination, I think, is the two ones on that one. You just get accustomed to it. I mean, I've been using VR now for about 3 years, so it's very, very much within my breath now to put on a set of VR goggles and crack on for 2.5, maybe even 3 hours. But you still get that little bit of a sick sensation when you take them off. But it's good. It tests you. That's the big thing. It does test you.
For people who are listening on BFBS, you're sat here right now in your army fatigues. You're wearing your uniform. Thank you so much for coming dressed so properly to this interview. Secondly, what do you race in? Do you have like a proper race suit?
No. I do have a proper race suit, but that's only for karting. Oh, but no.
I mean, that'd be taking it to the extreme if you were sat there in a helmet as well.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
I'd love to see that. What is the next thing in the calendar for Army Esports?
So we've actually got a number of things. We've got the British Army Esports League going on at the moment. Our first game is actually tomorrow with League of Legends, followed by Call of Duty. And then we've also got the Formula One on Friday as well. So that's going to be an interesting one, which is the Intercore. So that's against all the cores in the Army, They'll be racing.
Well, that is going to be great. Good luck for that. What do you reckon for yourself when it comes to Friday in the F1 race?
Let's see how we do. But all right. Fourth, I'm hoping.
Well, listen, Sergeant Simon Moore, Foggy, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. Enjoy the rest of your day, buddy.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Let's play this now. This is Razor Light on BFBS. This is In the Morning.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I've been here too long. The songs on the radio sound the same. Everybody just looks the same, but then last night was so much fun. And now your sheets are dirty, the streets are dirty too. But you never look back over what you've done. Remember when you were young, you'd lose yourself. Can't help it, it's not his fault. Just a dangerous, dangerous age. Then every night's still so much fun. And you're still out there, darling, clinging on to the wrong ideas. But I never regret anything I've done. Remember when you were young, you'd lose yourself. In the morning, you know you won't remember a thing. In the morning, you know it's gonna be alright.
Raise the Light in the Morning here on BFBS. And it's time for another guest. I'm joined by MZ, who competed last year for Northern Ireland in the Commonwealth Games, where they trialled eSports for the first time. MZ, thank you so much for taking the time.
Not a problem. Thanks so much for having me.
So talk me through the Commonwealth Games then, because I remember when they first mentioned that eSports was going to be a part of it. How did you end up being involved in it?
Funny story, I basically replied to an Instagram ad looking for female gamers from Northern Ireland, and I was like, I'm not, that's me. And then there was a whole back and forth from the Instagram ad. I didn't think it was real for the longest amount of time, and then they got me down to do like headshots and like get my jerseys and stuff, and I was like, oh, so this is real.
Yeah.
And then like, I didn't even apply to play eFootball. Like, I'm an FPS person at heart.
Oh, really?
Like, Counter-Strike is my main game. So the fact I'm sitting here talking to you is very starstruck.
Well, do you know, I love a bit of Counter-Strike, although I'm absolutely pathetic at it. It's one of those things that I've worked around Counter-Strike for years, but I am so terrible with a mouse and keyboard over the years that it's a running joke within all the people that I work with. So how much eFootball had you played before? Because, I mean, I think we've all picked up a game of FIFA or Pro Evo over the years. I mean, how good were you?
So I play FIFA like nearly every year until about October, November. Then I always sort of get bored because it's the same thing over and over again, right? Pro Evo, I'd never really played, but I was given a fantastic coach and I sort of like just honed in and spent maybe 9+ hours a day grinding away.
So you'd done no pro or no online competitions around the football world at all?
No.
Wow. Okay. So when you're wearing the Northern Ireland shirt and you're going down, you know it's all about to happen. What was that experience like?
I honestly can't really remember. It's all very much a blur. All I remember was absolutely jumping backstage, drinking a Monster, and listening to A Day to Remember. Just like in war mode, ready to go out and just play. But like just being on the stage is like my happy place. Like I played in a band as well, or played in a band. And like just performing in front of a crowd and being able to do something that I actually really love and enjoy, like gaming, was just phenomenal.
You see, that's the interesting thing. So I can get on a stage. So that's what I do around the esports world. I sort of get on stage in front of people, introduce stuff. The idea of having someone watch me play any game whatsoever, even one that I'm all right at, I would go to pieces. But for you, when you've got that sort of interest, when you've got eyes and cameras on you, you lap that up.
Mm-hmm. I'm very much, I play up to the camera very, very much so. Like almost that extra pressure gives me an extra reason to perform and play harder and better.
And you won the gold. Where's the medal now? Where'd you keep it?
It's actually in my sock drawer.
It's always the sock drawer. I've asked this of Olympians. I've asked this of everyone I've ever spoken to. Why the sock drawer?
It was just sitting on top of the drawer. And we're moving house. We're getting the house, our new keys tomorrow. So everything is sort of just shoved in drawers at the minute.
Yeah.
But it has been everywhere with me. Like, and I mean, like I've taken it on holidays and to events in England from Northern Ireland. I have took it everywhere.
How much more Pro Evo or FIFA have you played since the tournament?
Do I have to answer that?
No, not at all.
One game.
And did you win it?
Yeah, it was against my partner and she's never played before, right. So yes.
There you go.
It was at EGX in one of the booths. But I've been getting back into like Valorant and Counter-Strike and I just haven't had the urge to turn it on. I've played a lot of FIFA since.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about your other world as well, which is as an esports program lead with the Iris Project, which was set up to help create pathways within the industry for a career in esports. Talk us through the work of the Iris Project.
Yeah, so pretty much you've said it. We want to create pathways into the industry within esports. So I go to, and the rest of the team, I guess, as well, we go to a lot of schools and colleges and we sort of like, okay, here's the careers available in esports. It's not just going to be idiots like me playing video games. There's a whole plethora of jobs available. There's a whole, pretty much any sort of career you can imagine you can now do in esports, especially if you're creative, you know, if you want to go into like broadcast or, you know, camera work or editing or anything, like whatever you can think of, we can find you a job in esports that is a thing in. And then we also share like lived experiences of how to tackle hate. So like using my own experiences, being a trans woman and winning a medal, I got barrages of hate online to the point where a lot of the posts had to be taken down and deleted, which is sad, but it is what it is. It just spurs me on more. And I think having that connection with young kids and being able to see someone who is very openly themselves and very openly transgender and very openly a member of the queer space, I think seeing that gives them a lot more to relate to rather than just, say, a teacher coming in and delivering the same sort of thing.
So how much are you educating students as well as the teachers and the adults in those environments?
Both, I guess. Like, I want to talk to, like, parents as much as I can as well, because, you know, it's all good. Your kid coming home going, Mom, I'm going to play esports for a living. I'm going to play video games for a living. And it's like, well, no, you're not. Because some adult parents just still don't understand quite what it is and quite how big it really is. But whenever you have someone who has been there, competed for their country, won for the country, and made a career out of both playing and delivering talks and being, like, in places, it's kind of gives it a bit more authority.
Because that, I mean, one of the things you can always tell the parents is that the winner at Katowice won $400,000. The team won $400,000 for first place, plus the wages that go with it. But it's an interesting thing because even nowadays, I think when you come back to the career side of it, a lot of people still don't understand. They think it's throwing time away playing esports when it's not that at all.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Like, it's, you learn so many skills. You learn how to cope with losses. You learn how to, you know, be a good winner. You learn how to tackle other people being toxic and what to do and what not to do. And it really, like, the skills are just so transferable throughout any other industry as well. So it's not just, you're not just throwing away time playing a video game.
Lovely. MZ, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. If people want to catch up with you, where would they find you?
At MZ192 on every social media platform.
All right. When I finally get my CSGO set up again, let's play at some point.
Oh, 100%, please, can we?
Absolutely destroying me. But MZ, thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
There goes MZ. Fabulous to talk to her. Let's play some more music now. This is One of Us by Liam Gallagher on BFBS.
Hey, kid, did you know today, 16 years ago, it was you and I for the last time?
Gallagher one of us on BFBS, the 40 station. This is eSports Live. We've got a bit of time, actually, to do the eSports news. And thank you again to MZ. And what you're saying is true. I mean, one of the problems eSports and gaming has had for a long time is the online abuse. A lot of, if you watch things on Twitch chat, can be a real hair pit. It really can be. And I think the work that she's doing and other people are doing in that space to try and educate people and to deal with the idiots when they do appear on there is fabulous. Right, a little bit of news. The 2023 Valorant Champions Tour begins with VCT Lock-In, which is Brazil. It's the biggest LAN in the history of the game, and it is a game that's gone from strength to strength. It's the first event of 2023. The Valorant Champions Tour will feature 30 partner teams from the EMEA, Pacific and Americas League, as well as two Chinese invited teams. And the Call of Duty League Major 3 qualifiers are almost underway as we fast approach the second half of the Modern Warfare 2 season. Crunch time for the teams hoping to qualify for the champs. Let us stick in one more song, but a Sheryl Crow and A Change Would Do You Good. Lovely, lovely Sheryl Crow. If you remember, she gave everyone some great advice on how to use toilet paper in the bathroom, and that was using one sheet. Let's not talk any more about it, though, because that is it. We are done for another BFBS Esports Live. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Remember, if you missed any of it, and you missed our guest, you missed Sergeant Simon Moore, Foggy, called Foggy Y, as he told us, because he doesn't have the foggiest. His words, not mine, and to Emsy as well. Then you can listen back and you can catch up if you go to bfbs.com/esports live. You can hear it again as well on Sunday afternoon, 12:30 p.m. UK time. I'm OJ Borge. Thank you so much for listening to Esports Live for BFBS, the Force of Station. See you next week.
Online, on the app, on FM, and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS. The Force of Station.